is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
And welcome back to Monday Night Talk, but I'm not Kevin Tachi, I'm Christine James, because I'm here with Kevin, but we've again commandeered this show to do two back-to-back WATD political forums. First up, it's the race for the 1st Plymouth District with Republican incumbent and Democratic challenger John Mahoney, and of course the Republican incumbent is Matt Moratori. It's a rematch from 2 years ago. Now this district includes, and gentlemen, correct me if I'm wrong because I've mixed these precincts up before, Plymouth precincts 2 through 8, 10, 12, 14, and 15.
That's correct.
Okay,
correct.
Good. That's the 1st Plymouth District. Next up, we'll have the race for the Plymouth-Barnstable State Senate seat with Republican incumbent Vinny DiMaceto and his Democratic challenger, Deb Rudolph. That seat includes Bourne, Falmouth, Kingston, Pembroke, Plymouth, and Sandwich. And again, I'm your moderator, Christine James, along here with our Monday Night Talk Show host, Kevin Tachi, and our own Charles Matheson asking questions. Whitman Hansen, Community Access TV, is also taping, so thank you so much for helping us out. Now, those of you who are regular listeners know our format is simple. We've asked the candidates to have opening statements, no longer than 2 minutes, please, and a closing statement prepared of no longer than 1 minute. Reporters ask a round of questions, and then we'll also ask some lightning round questions where the answers are all either yes or no or one or two sentences. And remember, lightning means quick like a bunny. Now, if you start rambling or if you go over a minute, you'll get about a five-second grace period, and if you keep talking, you get the bell, okay? Now, to help you stay on track with your timing, we have our own lovely timer over there, and that, of course, is Amy Leonard. She has those big pieces of construction paper. We find this approach works best. And green means go, red means stop, and yellow means you have 10 seconds. So that's the way we try to keep everybody in line here. We chose the opening and closing order of the candidates out of the official stand-in for the WATD Newsroom koozie, because somehow that has disappeared between this and the last political forum, but it'll show up. It disappeared another time for 6 months. So we're going to begin with John Mahoney, and then we're going to go to Matt Moratori, and we will reverse that order at the end. Good evening, John.
Christine, thank you. Kevin, good seeing you all again. It's always wonderful to come up here to WATD in Marshfield. Someday I wish that I could host a radio show with Mr. Matheson. Having said that, my name is John Mahoney. I'm fortunate enough to be in my fourth term on the Plymouth Board of Selectmen. I moved to Plymouth 20 years ago. I've been an elected town meeting member from Precinct 3. I was then appointed to the FinCom approximately 12 years ago, and then fortunate enough in 08 to get elected to the Plymouth Board of Selectmen. I've knocked on thousands of doors in the last decade. 99% of the conversations I have revolve around property taxes. And people want to know if government is using their money efficiently, and I can tell you that the answer is no, and that's at the federal, state, and town level. Some of the things that I've engaged in and promoted certainly over the course of the last decade on the board is taking out four enterprise funds. When I first got on the board, three of them had a general fund subsidy. We eliminated that. All four enterprise funds are run like a business. They're self-sufficient since fiscal year 13. If you don't get town sewer, you don't pay for it. If you don't get town water, you don't pay for it. If you don't want a transfer station pass, you don't pay for it. And of course, airport has been self-sufficient since the early 90s. Expansion of the sewer line out 44. We put in a $45 million facility in 02. It's only been used at 50-55% capacity. We pushed a line out there with no expense to except for the individuals who are getting the betterment. We invested $4 million in extending the line, and now we're getting an incremental 250 to 300,000 gallons of flow a day. Since I've been on the board, the bond grade of the community has been upgraded from a AA to a AA+. And I think what is most significant and the best thing that we've done is the new town hall. Okay, we've invested a new 61,000 square foot town hall. No federal, no state subsidy, no property taxes, no expansion or diversification of the local tax base. We did it without raising property taxes.
Thank you very much. That was the opening statement from John Mahoney. And now we're going to go to the Republican incumbent, Matt Moratori. Good evening.
Good evening, and thank you so much for, again, hosting this debate. We really appreciate that and appreciate all the work WAT does for the community. First and foremost, I'm a father of six beautiful daughters, and my wife, Kristen, is a local elder law and estate planning attorney. We do live in South Plymouth. I'm a licensed nursing home administrator and co-owner of Crayon College Child Daycare Center. I started in Plymouth government back in 2005. I was on the finance committee with John, and then went to the Council on Aging Board of Directors, and then became selectman in 2010. I was first elected state rep in 2014. So I'm ending my second term now, and I just love every minute of the job. It's a job that that you can help so many people in so many different ways. When I was a nursing home administrator all those years, helping elderly people is very rewarding. Now I can help elderly people and so many other people in so many different ways, and it's just a great job. My committee assignments include the Healthcare Financing Committee, Tourism, Arts and Culture, and State Administration and Regulatory Oversight. I'm also a commissioner for the Oceans Advisory Commission and the Northeast Forest Fire Protection Commission. I've had a successful track record of advocating for our community on such issues as vital infrastructure, road and bridge funding, local aid, and tourism initiatives. As a small business owner with a lifetime background in elder care and early childhood education, I understand firsthand the concerns of businesses, seniors, families, and taxpayers. I have a perfect voting record on Beacon Hill that I'm very proud of. And I really want to continue to work at the State House so we can deal with such issues as healthcare, which is where I have my background. We really need to start working on housing, road funding, along with Plymouth 400, to make sure that's successful, and tourism beyond Plymouth 400, and the closure of Entergy, make sure that's safe. So I just respectfully ask people for their vote on November 6th.
Thank you very much. That was the opening statement from Matt Muratori. Now we're going to go to our panelists here. Let's start with Kevin Tachi. Question for the candidates.
Let's start with you, Matt. As an incumbent, what are your thoughts about facing the same opponent 2 years later? Do you feel that you've had your share of successes this past legislative session and that warrants another term?
Yeah, you know, John and I, people ask us all the time, and John and I go back to, you know, 2005. He actually talked me into going on the finance committee and running a selectman. So I think, you know, it's a competition is the way I say it. So, you know, I think a lot of things we do think alike, but I think there's a lot of things that I've been able to be successful for on Beacon Hill, working with the delegation. This is all about working with people to try to get things done for your community. We've been very successful, almost over $16 million in infrastructure we've been able to get. Over the last, you know, couple of years, working with the delegation, work with the Baker-Polito administration, and so many other things we've been able to do. I was proud to be able to sponsor a bill that is for a neonatal abstinence syndrome for infants, so we can study the effects of infants that are born with opiates and alcohol abuse, and that's going to be funded over the next several years for those, you know, infants to 18 years old.
John, you ran for the same seat 2 years ago. Where is the incumbent coming up short, and what are you prepared to do differently if elected?
Kevin, 2.5 years ago, I went into Boston, and I talked to some state party officials, and I was told in a polite manner that they wouldn't support my campaign in a serious, at a level that they would support campaigns in other parts of the state with manpower and money. And I was told point blank that I couldn't compete in the district because it was... It went to the right too far. I went out, campaigned up and down the street, knocked on doors, thousands of doors, and I lost in a year where both presidential candidates went against me. I lost by 402 votes out of 24,000. It's the closest race in the state. If I didn't come back and try one more time, I'd have regretted it for the rest of my life. So Matt and I, you know, we get along. We've known each other for 15 years. We're wired differently. Obviously, there's a whole laundry list of financial issues I can point to that say, you know, I certainly either
do
initiated.
So. No, do so. You hit, this is your time. Well, give us a couple.
The yellow card's up. I got five seconds. Yeah. So
you can always ask a follow up.
Okay. Good. Continue. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Okay. So if you don't like, I've analyzed the last 45 years with respect to the town of Plymouth's budget. Okay, and I can talk about a lack of nothing to show for $1 billion plus from a power plant. It was this simple. The single greatest thing this community's ever done is build a new town hall. Okay? So people came to me, do you support this meals tax option? It's this simple. Is it going into the general fund? If it's going into the general fund, it's a black hole of money. The money is not handled responsibly. If you want to earmark it for something, I'm in. So when you go into that new town hall, that is a miracle. You are in a conservative building. The responsible handling of money, you have earmarked it. You have a law in Plymouth that says it goes into its own separate interest-bearing account, okay? And I would hold that up as the best example of today in New England of a community investing in infrastructure without raising property taxes. That's how it should be done.
Did you have a follow-up question, or did you get that answer?
Do you want to give an opportunity to respond?
Sure, absolutely. I actually take that as a compliment because John and I were on the board together. Obviously, I was chairman of the board when this came up, and we had a real historic meeting that involved all the different committees in town, planning board, school committee, the Plymouth Housing Authority, et cetera. And we all got together and went to about a year on this, working on this, and we all came to consensus of doing the meals tax. And John's right, it's probably the most important thing this community ever did.
It looks great, too.
Yeah,
beautiful. Okay, Charles Mathewson, questions for the candidates?
Guys, we frequently ask, what kind of Democrat are you? What kind of Republican are you? I want to start with Matt, and I'm going to give you a head start, Matt, because we've known one another almost as long as you and John, yeah. You voted no to raise the minimum wage, no to fund community health centers. You have a 75% rating from the American Consumer Conservative Union, 93% rating from the NRA, and a 0% rating from Planned Parenthood. So what kind of Republican are you?
Well, I would say... you know, I'm a Matt Muratori Republican.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I know everyone says that, but, you know, I vote what I think is the right thing to do, and I always have when I was a selectman. But I think if you want to compare it to somebody, I'm a Charlie Baker, you know, Republican. I think very moderate. You know, you talk about, some of these issues, the minimum wage one. I voted against that grand bargain, and for the main reason of... it was going to take away time and a half from people on the weekends. And we got a letter from Steve Tolman, who's the president of the AFL-CFO, who's supporting John, and said, you know, we can't take away. And I always believe that. You don't take away from people. If we could grandfather people, then great. I would have voted for that. But because of that, I did not do that.
Yeah, but you put legislation in a few years ago to eliminate time and a half on Sundays for all retail employees in the entire state, Matt.
So that was that was 4 years ago.
Isn't that a contradictory statement?
No, not at all.
Is that one of your follow-up questions, Charlie?
My question for you, John, is if you're elected, what will your scorecards say?
Well, I'm going to go back to the opening statement where I said 99% of the conversations I've had revolve around taxes and handling money responsibly. So in my private life, and this is what we advocate individuals in their 20s, 30s, and 40s to do, is you save as much money as possible. Okay? So I'm a conservative capitalist in my private life. We all handle money responsibly in the private life. We make we make 360 consecutive payments in a row on a 30-year mortgage because we want something at the end. We plan financially. I have to plan that I'm going to work until 65 or 70. I have to have a certain amount of capital if I live until the age of 90, so I'm not reliant on the American government because I don't trust it as far as I can throw it. Okay, so the question is, do we take that conservative approach we have in our private lives to the municipal elected official? And I would separate myself from my opponent. I do that. My opponent doesn't do that. It took us until 2017 to set up an account in Plymouth, Massachusetts for the auto excise tax to be earmarked for roads to your DPW director.
What will your scorecard as a state rep be on conservative or progressive issues?
If I win this seat, Charlie, it's not a win for conservatives, progressives, or liberals. It's a win for responsibles. Okay? I don't trust communities to handle money responsibly, therefore you don't give them a blank check. What happened in the late 80s? A blank check was given to the town of Plymouth to execute a second high school. Hired a contractor, wasn't qualified to build a doghouse. They said, do it on the cheap. It was a 1960s design, 25 years old. It was 25 years old before a shovel went aground. 15 years later, Newton North in 02, $197 million out of control high school. The state stepped in. They have a model school program right now. They don't trust any of the 350 communities as far as they throw them with the U.S. dollar. That's conservatism. So that model school program is built on three principles. You're not trusted as far as you can throw you. We can throw you. It's quality of construction coming out of the ground, and you're going to maintain the building. And when you do that, you get value for the money that you've invested. That's what should be done.
Okay.
Okay. I want to go back to Matt because I know that John had said something about you voting against time and a half on Sunday. Do you want to address that?
Yeah. This was from 4 years ago. 2 weeks after I was elected, you had to file bills right in the beginning of the session. All new to me. I had some bills that were presented to me that are asked to be refiled. Refile them from previous sessions. Actually, then shortly into it, maybe 6 months into it, realized that people in that time and a half to eliminate time and a half on Sundays. For retail people, that it didn't grandfather people in. So I actually walked away from that bill at that point, never went any further, and I've always said publicly that, you know, if we're going to eliminate time and a half, we have to grandfather people in who are already there. We can't just take it away from. And my vote this summer, because of Steve Tolman's recommendation not to vote for that grand bargain, because of that elimination of the time and a half from people that are there, that's the reason why I did that.
Okay. This was sent in from one of our listeners, and this is a first for you, Matt. Given that the majority of the legislature is Democratic, how, as a Republican, is your vote effective, for example, relative to the budget? What kind of leverage do you have?
You know, we were talking earlier about working with the delegation, working together. We've got a great delegation in this area, and there's Democrats and Republicans together that work together. And, you know, we actually have the ear of the Speaker. We have the ear of the Governor, who actually work well together as well. And it's all about what we can get for our community, and by working together, see what we can get for our community. So I think being a relationship builder and working with people, you know, is the way we're able to get money into the budget for things that we're going to need. And, you know, you work with the Chairman of House Ways and Means as well, had a very good relationship with him as well. So it's all about relationship building.
Do you think that Plymouth and the region get its fair share?
I think I would like to see probably more on local aid, but I think when you look at what this region and what Plymouth particularly got over this last couple of years, over $17 million in infrastructure and all sorts of things that we got, and there's more things even on top of that, more than our fair share.
All right, let me start with John. How would you work with the majority party to assure Plymouth gets its fair share of state aid during the budget process?
Oh. First of all, Christine, I just want to let you know that, you know, Speaker DeLeo brings me something that makes sense for the Commonwealth. I'm going to support it. And if it doesn't make sense, I'm going to tell him that I can't support it.
Mm-hmm.
And that works if Charlie Baker continues to be our governor. Some of the proudest votes I've taken in a decade on the Plymouth Board of Selectmen are the 4-1 votes. Okay? Nothing personally against the other four colleagues, but, you know, some of those 4-1 votes went to town meeting. I was the one against, and, you know, town meeting... you know, validated my position. You have a situation here where you're in a competition to get tax dollars. This community of Plymouth invests. We send tens of millions of dollars up to Boston. And obviously, I agree with Matt, it can be more. And I can give you, I had a private meeting with Charlie Baker a few years ago where Matt was present, and you talk about a standalone event in the 400th anniversary. It is beyond me. It's beyond the town manager and the current Board of Selectmen and the 400 committee how we have only gotten $800,000 when Jamestown, Virginia got $15 million from the Commonwealth of Virginia.
Well, this is a good segue because one of my questions coming up is the Plymouth 400. What do you think? It's going to be a boom or a bust, John Mahoney?
It's not going to be a bust, okay? We were hoping that the Commonwealth of Massachusetts would take the lead here. Okay, in the private meeting, which probably occurred in May or June of 2015, there was mm-hmm. 10 people in the room. We had 45 minutes with Charlie Baker. Somebody in the room, I referenced the $30 million budget that Jamestown, Virginia had in 07. 15 from the Commonwealth of Virginia, and then the other $15 million came from the feds and major corporations. And I looked at him. And I told him, I said, Charlie, we don't need $15 million, but can we have 3 to 5? And if you want us to match it 50 cents on the dollar, dollar for dollar, we'll go to town meeting and get that money. And we don't want it to hire our friends in politically connected positions or for advertising. We just want it to invest in infrastructure. And I can tell you right now, it fell on deaf ears. And both parties are to blame for this. This is a bipartisan failure, okay? It's not going to be a bust. Is going to be a solid event. We're doing the best we can with the funding that we have. And, you know, Michelle Pecoraro is doing an excellent job.
Okay. What about you? What do you think, Matt? Is this going to be a boom or a bust or somewhere in between?
It's going to be tremendous, actually. And Michelle has done a great job. I was proud to actually work with the Baker Pleat administration to get a state commission put in place. It's now being run by Dusty Rhodes. So that legitimizes the event we're going to be having, the commemoration. You know, and I do have to disagree with John on this, too. What the thing that Jamestown did was they put all the money into the party. What we have been doing the last 4 years is actually with $2.5 million for dredging, $3 million for the DCR Park where Plymouth Rock is, the T-Wharf, $2 million, and the list goes on and on. We want to have the infrastructure in place so that's not just about 2020, it's 2020 and beyond. And that's where we decide to have the money go and then leverage the State Commission to get private funds to go along with it's actually 1.2 that we've got to date for the Plymouth 400. So that's the mistake Jamestown, that's why it was a bust in Jamestown, because they didn't put in infrastructure, and we've been putting in an infrastructure.
Okay. Let's go now to Kevin Tachi. Questions for the candidates.
We know that health care is a big issue, whether it's on the federal level, whether it's on the local level, and trying to maintain health care costs, whether it's going to the hospital, going to the doctor, whether it's prescription. There is a ballot question that will look to do something regards question one regarding patient limits to nurses. Give me your thoughts on where you stand on this, or how do you feel that this question, depending on if it passes, is going to have an impact on healthcare and what you can do as a legislator or as a government body to contain costs. Start with you, John.
The healthcare issue, Kevin. So first of all, to question one. I support question one. Okay.
Yep.
I've encountered, knocked on a few thousand doors in this campaign cycle. Obviously, this is, other than property taxes, the issue on most people's mind, especially when you're in a front yard or you're in somebody's driveway and you can see what they're wearing. These individuals, you know that they work at a hospital or in this field. And it's universal that there's an issue out there with respect to the safety of not only the patients, but the predominantly female nurses that are working in this field. And, some of them might not think that the question is the perfect thing, but I had a woman, I literally stood on her front doorstep, and she said that she had to get out of the field because she was constantly putting her life in danger. There's a middle ground here, Kevin. Why it hasn't been arrived at yet, I don't know. Okay, now you're talking about containing costs within the healthcare field, and I'm down to 10 seconds here, but I want to tell you, with respect to anything we do in government, the question is always, where's the money coming from?
Thank you very much.
I'm going to have to ask a follow-up, and that is, so you say you like question one, you support it.
Correct.
Any concerns that this is a blanket way of treating it, that this needs to be modified? In regards to nurse coverage, and depending on if it's just hospitals,
there's a middle ground. I met Mr. Coughlin from Jordan or BID. We talked to Mr. Coughlin. He came in and spoke to a group of 20 to 30 individuals, and he's shifting blame to the other side. If you took all the money that both sides were putting into advertising, you could hire a fair amount of instructors that could educate the next generation of nurses that would be in position to replace the 7,000 to 10,000 nurses that retire annually. You want me to keep going? What are you giving me?
You
a minute?
You still got a green, so go.
Okay. So this is so with respect to financing and cost creation, the hypocrisy of creating a tax for roads is it doesn't go to roads. So we're always talking about that. So why do you charge the Massachusetts or Plymouth taxpayer a tax for roads if it doesn't go there? The town of Plymouth creates $3 to $8 million incrementally every year for roads because we charge you something for a service that we're supposed to provide you, but it doesn't go there. So that's always, I think that's a soundbite, a cliche that politicians pull out of their back pocket whenever it's convenient.
Okay. Well, there's nobody who's worked with so many nurses that I have in the 40 years that I've been involved. I've worked with thousands of nurses. They are the lifeblood of whether it's any sort of healthcare, whether it's hospitals, nursing homes, sister livings, whatever. And they do a great job. But we need to deal with what the facts are. I do agree with John that we need more instructors. That's the real issue. 10,000 retiring each year, we're only bringing 5,000 in. The average age of a nurse is 50 years old. You do the math. So where are these nurses going to come from? That's what I'm concerned with. And as somebody who deals with elders on a daily basis, it's coming from nursing homes, it's coming from assisted livings, and it's going to come from home care, where seniors want to be at home. That's where those nurses are coming from. to actually do this. So we are going to see 4, 5, 6 dozen nursing homes in this Commonwealth that will close down when this happens. And when you bring it home looking closer to our community, when you look at Plymouth BID, they actually have 35 open positions and are using travels just like nursing homes. They're going to need another 45 more. So that's really, that's the crux of the issue, that we just don't have enough, so I'll be voting no on that.
What about legislative cost containment, though? Again, we've tried to put affordable health care, mm-hmm. I mean, we started here with Romney Care, it mm-hmm. went to the federal level with Obamacare.
I'm fascinated that you come out with and call that Romney Care initially, so I would give you credit for that.
Thanks. I get the bell. But the idea is what do we do in regards to trying to contain? Because that's the biggest problem that a lot of municipalities deal with, and that is, and I'm sure in your district, mm-hmm. is healthcare cost containment and being able to provide it, whether it's on a municipal level or on you know the regular person. What do you do?
Well, I can tell from just being on the Healthcare Finance Committee the last 4 years, I can see what the real issue really is, and it's the pharmaceuticals. That's the real issue that we have to get to the crux of, and dealing with the insurance companies as well. So we're going to have to get into that. I know we've started talking about it between the governor's office and the speaker's office, and I'm confident that's going to be an issue that will be dealt with next year, or next session, but that's really the crux of the issue.
Okay. Charles Mathewson, questions for the candidates?
More on money. The state has an enormous surplus right now. You're both former selectmen. You know that it should not be spent on one-time costs to create a deficit in the future. How would you spend, John, how would you spend the surplus?
Mr. Mathewson, I wouldn't spend any of it. The question should be, how are we going to invest it, if at all, okay? So I'm always thinking long term. I'm not going to set myself up politically with throw a bunch of money towards some entity so that I get their support, which ensures a re-election or an election to a different position, okay? The cranes over Boston are going to come down. Okay, everybody's flying high right now. I want to set the next, whether it, that this is going to stop in 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years. So if it's $1 billion, as far as I'm concerned, $500 to $700 million goes into rainy day. That goes into your stabilization fund, okay? I'm not going to go out and spend it. After that, are there some infrastructure projects around you can invest in? Absolutely. Do we have to shore up funding for education? Look at that. Sure. If you want to get some of that stuff, absolutely. But I can tell you right now, $5 million, Plymouth 400th anniversary for infrastructure downtown.
Matt, how should you and Charlie Baker spend or invest the surplus?
I agree with John. I think more into the rainy day fund. We were able to put in this supplement budget more money in the rainy day fund. It's over $2 billion now. But I agree. I think more should be put in there. But I also think, you know, roads, really, in this Commonwealth, we need to start dealing with roads throughout the Commonwealth. And I would have loved to see more than $40 million put into roads, but I think we need to look at some more for roads. And again, I got to go back to elders. We have an aging population that's happening. We have almost 400 nursing homes in this Commonwealth that are losing $37 per day per Medicaid patient. There's 75% of our Medicaid patients in nursing homes, and we're talking about 30,000 of them. And they're losing money, and they're closing at a fast rate. We've closed 21 this year, and more are going to close. So we need to kind of stabilize. We're in a fiscal crisis in nursing homes and assisted living for seniors, and we've got to stabilize that. So I'd love to see more money going into that to stabilize the nursing home industry before another 4 or 5 dozen close.
Let me ask a follow-up to that. Nursing homes, or SNFs as they're now called, skilled nursing
long-term
facilities.
Care. Yeah.
SNFs?
SNFs.
Okay. SNFs. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
What about home health care?
Same.
The state be investing in home health care?
Absolutely.
Because most of it is provided now, not by municipal visiting nurses, but by national corporations.
Yeah, national and local ones as well. And we really do need, because if we can keep seniors at home and do a different model for SNFs, as you call it, that's the way to do it. But I'm always an advocate. Try to keep people at home as long as they possibly can. SNFs have a purpose for a lot of them do short-term care. 50% of them actually get discharged home. And you know, others that do have to stay, they need the care. Do we need as many as we have now? Probably not. But we do need to stabilize home care as well. And we should regulate a little bit of the home care, too, because I worry about some of these home care companies that actually send people in that aren't Cori checked or there's no background check, and I worry about the abuse that could be happening, and we know that is.
John, because it came up, what do you think about home health?
I want to do whatever we can to facilitate seniors being able to stay in their home as long as possible. And I think overall, if you make that investment, I think long term, that cuts costs. I just, you know, hopefully I'll make it that long, but I just, some of these decisions, you see family members and just getting, you know, off to a facility like that. So if this can facilitate, you know, an individual or a couple staying in their home later, I'm all for it.
You want to make it that long, just keep biking to your events like you do. Okay, thank you.
Okay, if you're when you're reelected or if you're reelected to your seat, Matt Muratori, what three things do you think you have to work on to make sure that the decommissioning of Pilgrim doesn't turn into a disaster?
Well, you know, I think we need to actually look at this new company that's coming in to buying that. So we really need to make sure that, you know, we're vetting this out to be sure there's enough money there to actually close it and close it safely. We want to make sure the spent fuel rods are taken out, you know, as quickly as possible. It's probably going to take about 8 years before they're all out.
Mm-hmm.
And we really need to work on trying to see what we can do about getting these on the federal level, getting these spent fuel rods out of Plymouth and into some depositories area somewhere. That would be more of a long-range plan. It's probably more of a wish list, but I think that's some of the things we need to start looking at.
John, what do you think? What are the three things that you would have to do, like when you get to the State House, and make sure that the 2019 closing of Pilgrim is not a disaster?
So, first and foremost, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, over the course of the last several decades, has been built up to a point where they're omnipotent, and that's attributed to your U.S. Senate and the U.S. Congress. They're almost impervious to any criticism from my locality or the state of Massachusetts. So having said that, the plant, I believe, is going to go offline next Memorial Day weekend of 19, and we want to make sure that the spent fuel is transferred into the dry cast as soon as possible. Vernon, Vermont is just completed that or is just on the verge of completing that. And I think they closed in 14, so this is 3 years down the road. The decommissioning fund is $1.1 billion in it. I'm a little skeptical at this point of Holtec coming in, but I will tell you we need to set the radiological standards at 10 millirems for that site when it's all said and done.
Okay. I want to go to our lightning round now. And these are the questions, of course, that we ask that it's either a yes or no answer or one or two sentences tops. Kevin Tachi, lightning round questions.
Would you ever support a statewide ban on plastic bags?
Yes or no, John Mahoney?
It's coming from the left. It's going to come eventually, Kevin. It's happening, but we banned it in Plymouth. It was pretty successful at this stage of the game, no.
Matt Muratori.
Yeah, I agree with him. Same thing. It's already banned.
Charles Mathewson.
Yes or no on question three, transgender rights, Johnny?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Which means leave it the same.
Right.
Yes.
Matt, okay. Ranked choice voting, good idea or bad idea? Matt Muratori.
Good idea.
Okay. John.
Something worth looking at.
Okay. Kevin?
State's bottle bill. Keep it, modify it, get rid of it.
John?
It probably should be. It needs to be revisited and modified.
Okay.
Modified.
Okay, modified. Charles?
In a few minutes, the Plymouth Town meeting will reconvene. They will consider the request to redo the exterior of the former, now First Parish Church in Town Square. Yes or no? Matt?
Yes.
$2.6 million. Yes, John?
Charlie, I'm on the CPC committee.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Here comes.
Sometimes you get easy questions, John. Okay.
Plymouth County government. Time to stay or time to go? Let's start with you, John Mahoney.
Some of my biggest supporters in the county are the three commissioners, but I think it's time to go.
Okay. Matt Muratori.
I actually was doing Dornachan today, and I had a woman actually hit me on this, but I think if we could regionalize them, actually do some regionalization, I think they're a good thing to stay.
Okay. Any more lightning round questions, gentlemen?
I'm all set.
Okay. Then we're going to go to our closing statements, and we're going to reverse order. This means we're going to start with Matt Muratori and go to John Mahoney, and you have 1 minute, gentlemen.
Great. Well, again, thank you so much for doing this forum for us. I appreciate that, and hopefully the listeners got something out of this. Again, I love this job. It's a great job. I think there's a lot more things we need to go back to Beacon Hill to do. As I stated earlier, you know, healthcare is a number one issue that we really need to start tackling more, and I believe with my background in healthcare, I could be an advocate for that. I also think that housing, and I worked a lot on housing, and we were very close to the State House for passing a housing bill, but we missed it. It was a $1.8 billion bond bill, and we really need more housing. We need more affordable housing, workforce housing, and I think I could be an advocate working with Beacon Hill on that. And I also, as I said earlier, too, I think we need to get more money for roads, infrastructure, Plymouth 400, and Plymouth 400 beyond is what we're looking at as well. And, of course, the Entergy closer that we talked about. So I would hope you would all consider my vote, consider my candidacy, and would appreciate people's vote on November 6th.
Thank you very much. That was Matt Moratori, his final statement. And now we're going to go to John Mahoney, your final statement.
Thank you, Christine, Charlie, and Kevin. Always good seeing you. I missed Ed tonight. We didn't get a chance to see him, but tell him I said hi. So having said that, I bring a different perspective to government. Before I got on the Board of Selectmen, there was an announcement in 2007 that the plant had signed a five-year pilot agreement extension for fiscal year 8 through 12. I went into the town treasurer's office. I got the financial payments in 72. I analyzed them. I'm probably the only person who's reached out to elected and appointed officials in Wiscasset, Maine, Seabrook, New Hampshire, Vernon, Vermont, Somerset, Massachusetts, and obviously I'm pretty comfortable with Plymouth. If you want a different result, you've got to conduct a different experiment. And I'm going to say this again, and a lot of our problem with respect to property taxes is ignoring infrastructure, and I'm willing to tackle that problem. I'm asking for your vote on Tuesday, November 6th. My website is mahoneyforstaterep.org. If you'd like to get involved, send me an email. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was John Mahoney. Again, you've been listening to a WATD political forum. The two candidates here for the first Plymouth District. You've got the Republican incumbent, Matt Moratori. You've got his Democratic challenger, John Mahoney. And, of course, stay tuned to WATD for complete election coverage. We'll have reporters out covering both these candidates on election night, which is November 6th. I want to thank Kevin Tocci, Monday Night Talk Show host, and our own Charles Matthewson, and, of course, the lovely Amy Leonard for doing our timing over there. So, well, it keeps everybody in line, and as we tell you every time we do this, and of course thanks Whitman Hansen Community Access TV, if you don't vote, you don't have a voice. Get out there and vote. You're listening to 95.9 WATD.